The series this month is The Truth of God's Word. And the message tonight specifically is, therefore, there is no condemnation.
Thank you.
All right. How many here tonight, with a show of hands, can say that you've put your faith in Jesus Christ maybe a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago? All right. I have good news for you who put your faith in Jesus, whose spirit has been reborn again. All the sins and the bad things you did up until the day of your conversion to Christ were forgiven and forgotten by God. Those sins were thrown into a sea of forgetfulness. As far as the east is from the west, God removed those transgressions. Psalm 103, verse 12. According to Romans 5, verse 1, you were justified. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you were justified. When you think of the word justified, think about just as if I had never sinned. When you put your faith in Jesus, when you put your trust in Him, when you made Him your friend, God clothed you with a robe of righteousness. So that when He looked at you, He didn't see the sins that you committed. He saw Jesus. He saw that robe of righteousness. You have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. All the sins you committed up until the day of your conversion to Christ were forgiven and forgotten by God. So if the enemy tries to condemn you and put a guilt trip on you, saying that, man, those sins you committed before you came to Christ are so big and God is angry with you, you tell the devil, no. There is therefore no condemnation. God has forgiven me of those sins. And when you get weak and you slip up, God will continue to forgive you when you confess those sins. So between your conversion to Jesus Christ and the day that you go to heaven, when you leave this earth, will be a span of time. Maybe 5 years, maybe 10 years, maybe 50 years. Only God knows how much time you have left on this earth. And within those years will be an inner conflict that all followers of Christ experience. Within the remaining years that you have on this earth, from the time that you've accepted Christ, there will be an inner conflict that all believers in Jesus Christ experience. It was a conflict that Paul the Apostle experienced in his converted state after he met Jesus on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. An inner conflict. He was a great missionary. He was a preacher of the gospel to the Gentiles. He wrote so many New Testament epistles. And yet Paul dealt with this inner conflict. And the inner conflict, the inner battle I'm talking about tonight is between the renewed spirit, the born-again spirit, when you accepted Jesus, and the flesh, the bodily part of you. At one point or another, we are going to experience this inner battle, this inner conflict. And so tonight's message does come from Romans 8, verses 1 through 2. But before we get there, we're going to back up a few verses into Romans chapter 7. So if you got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. He writes this in Romans 7, verse 21. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. Now remember, we're talking about a man who wrote this epistle in his converted state. He was following Christ. He says, when I want to do good, evil is right there with me. In other words, he was saying that the temptation of sin, the desire of sin, was tugging at his fleshly nature when he wanted to do good. There was a battle going on the inside of Paul the Apostle. And then he says this in the next verse. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. Romans 7:22. In his inner being, he delights in God's law. His inner being, his inward man, that which was made new when he placed faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. But in his inner being, I delight in God's law, in God's principles. He found great delight, he found great joy in God's law, God's principles, in his inner being, in his inward man, in that renewed part of him. He desired to do what pleased God. It's kind of sounds like what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 42, verse 1. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul pants after you, God. As the deer panteth for the water, my soul, God, longs after you so. In his inner being, he found great delight, great joy in God's law, in God's principles, in doing that which pleased God. And then verse 23, he says this. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. He saw another law. What law was he talking about? He saw the law of sin was tempting his weak flesh. His flesh was so weak that he sinned, and this sin that was tempting his flesh, this was battling against his renewed spirit. So in other words, he was having this battle going on. His flesh, which was weak and sometimes fell, succumbed to the temptation, was battling against his renewed spirit, his inner being, which was finding delight in doing God's law. It was an inner conflict that was going on within Paul between his spirit, his renewed spirit, and his fleshly part. And friends, guess what? It didn't only go on in the life of Paul. It goes on in our lives as well. There's a battle. There's a conflict. As one commentator puts it, it's like a civil war on the inside of us. Between the renewed spirit, the inner being that was renewed when we put faith in Jesus Christ, and the fleshly, bodily part of us that sometimes, when it gets weak, succumbs to the temptation of sin. Anybody ever been there? Feeling that inner conflict on the inside of you. And he writes this in verse 24. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death, from this fleshly side of me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Verse 25. Only Jesus can rescue us from the power of sin. Remember when the angel appeared to Joseph in a dream in Matthew chapter 1, he said, and you will give him the name Jesus, for he will deliver the people from their sins. Jesus is the rescuer. Jesus is the deliverer. He is the one that breaks the power that sin would want over our lives. Is that good news here tonight? It's not my opinion. I'm preaching the word of God here. And so, as I said a few moments ago, every believer in Christ deals with this inner battle. And maybe recently you've been dealing with this inner conflict, this civil war on the inside of you between your renewed spirit, your born-again spirit, and the fleshly side of you. Maybe you overcame looking at wrong images, and maybe recently you started looking at that which is unclean. Maybe your flesh got really weak and you started to look, and you looked again and you slipped up. Maybe somebody has offended you in a small way. Maybe several different people are irritating you. And every time a little offense comes against you, you think about how you can get even with your offender. That's the flesh getting weak and wanting to do that which is not good. Maybe just yesterday you started speaking four-letter words again after you were sober for so many months. Or maybe you started drinking again and getting drunk after you were sober for such a long time. Maybe your flesh just got weak and gave in to the temptation of sin. Don't condemn yourself. Don't get down on yourself. We all deal with the flesh that sometimes succumbs to the temptation of sin. You know, the devil, who is the accuser, might try to whisper into your mind, you know, you slipped in saying that four-letter word. You slipped in looking at those unclean images. You slipped in drinking. The devil might be telling you, you slipped, you sinned, and now God is angry with you. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. John 8:44. And maybe he's trying to accuse you. You slipped, you've messed up. God is angry with you. God is going to condemn you eternally for slipping up. And you tell him, no, devil, I don't think so. The word of God says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to me because I am in Christ Jesus. I'm united to Jesus Christ. I'm unified with Christ. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I put my trust in Him. And the condemnation that was due me, Jesus took it from me. He did His work on that cross 2,000 years ago and died upon the cross so that I would not have to die in hell. So when the enemy whispers to you, you slipped up. And God is angry. And God is going to eternally condemn you. You just tell Him, there is therefore now no condemnation to me because I am in Christ Jesus. If there's anything that makes the devil run faster than lightning, it is the written Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God on the inside of you so that when he tries to accuse you, when he tries to put a guilt trip on you, you speak the Word of God and he will run from you. And you tell him, you know, the Word of God says in 1 John 1:9, that if I confess my sin, God is faithful and just and will forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Quote the Word and the devil will stop whispering to you. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The condemnation of eternal death, the condemnation, the sentence of eternal death was replaced with eternal life when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So in your Christian walk, in your walk with God, in following Jesus, remember that battle will go on the inside of you, of us. There's going to be that inner conflict between the renewed spirit, your inner being, and the flesh, the bodily part of you. Don't get down on yourself if you slip. Don't get down on yourself if you slip. And if the enemy tries to accuse you, just quote the Word of God. Now, by no means am I advocating living a lifestyle of sin. By no means am I saying that if you sin and you're thinking, man, I'm going to sin and I'm going to sin again and sin again and I'll just ask God for forgiveness and He'll forgive me. I'm not propagating that tonight at all because the Word of God speaks against that. The Word of God speaks against a lifestyle, living in a lifestyle of sin. I'm just saying that when you get weak in your flesh and you slip up, just confess your sin to God. He is faithful and just and will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And don't let the enemy accuse you. I've got a little illustration I'd like to read to you tonight. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of this one before. I've used it a few times in the past, but it bears repeating tonight. It's called The Duck and the Devil. And this is what it says. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hit its dead body in a woodpile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen." Then she whispered to him, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." Sally just smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." She whispered again, "Remember the duck?" So Sally went fishing, and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally couldn't stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed that he had killed the duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." And they say the original author is unknown. So the lesson, whatever is in your past, whatever you have done, and the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, lying, cheating, debt, fear, bad habits, hatred, anger, bitterness, whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window and He saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that He loves you and that you are forgiven. He's just wondering how long you'll let the devil make a slave of you. The great thing about God is that when you ask for forgiveness, He not only forgives you, but He forgets. It's by God's grace and mercy that we are saved. So again, the point, when you get weak in your flesh, you're following Jesus, your heart is after God, God's law, God's principles, God's influence, you want to do what pleases God, but a temptation comes to your weakened flesh, and maybe you slip and fall for it, don't let the devil accuse you. You confess that sin, and God is faithful and just, and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. All right, so, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1, Romans 8:2, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. When you accepted Jesus Christ, he brought you the gift of eternal life. 1 John 5:12. If anyone has the Son, he has life. Whoever has the Son, who has life. When you accepted the Son, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you received the gift of eternal life. And he set you free, as it says in Romans 8:2, from the law of sin and death. Now, before Christ, maybe you were sinning and enjoyed every minute of it. Anybody ever been there? Maybe before you accepted Jesus, you were sinning and enjoyed every minute of it. Maybe you went to bed meditating on that sinful desire and waking up daily, every day waking up on how your flesh could fulfill it. That was before Christ. That's called the power of sin over a person. But after Christ, after you accepted Christ, the daily meditating and enjoying of sin, the power of sin, was broken. It's like when Christ enters the human heart, that power of sin, the pleasure that you once found in sin, you no longer find it. In Jesus' name. That's the miracle working power of Christ in the heart of a human being. Amen? Amen? So it's like that power of sin was broken in your life. You no longer went to bed thinking about that sin and how you could fulfill it the next day and the next day after that and the next day after that. When you received Christ, you received eternal life, and he broke the power of sin. But as you follow Christ, as we talked about a few minutes ago, at times the flesh will slip and succumb to a temptation. Sin again, trying to pop its ugly head. Like I talked about, the inner conflict, the inner battle, that civil war that goes on within us between our renewed spirit, our inner being, that delights in God's law, and the fleshly part of us. Hence, Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13, same chapter. He says, for if you live according to the sinful nature... Every day, living according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. In other words, what is he saying? He's saying, don't fall back into continual sin, because if you do, you will die. It brings eternal death. For the wages of sin, continual sin, day in and day out, loving that sin will bring eternal death. But by the Spirit of God, put to death the misdeeds of the body. All right? So, putting to death the misdeeds of the body. How do you put to death the misdeeds of the body? You know, the flesh, the body would want to continue in a sin, but how do you put death to it? Submitting every part of your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's the primary way to put to death the misdeeds of the body, is by submitting every part of your being to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What does Lord mean? It means controller, supreme in authority. Jesus never sinned. So when a sin presents itself or comes across your path and you want to do it and do it again, think to yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do? If you get your big toe stubbed, what would Jesus do? Would he say a four-letter word? No. He would speak only what was pure. So you got to ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? Is there somebody that's irritating you, getting under your skin? And you just say your flesh is weak and you just want to cuss that person out. What would Jesus do? Jesus would not curse that person. Jesus would bless that person. Gotta ask yourself, what would Jesus do? If you're following what Jesus would do, you are putting to death the misdeeds of the body. Amen? And in putting to death the misdeeds of the body, like I said earlier, you will slip at times. Your flesh will get weak. But you just confess that sin and God will forgive you. If somebody gets under your skin, offends you by something that they say, are you going to get even? The flesh wants to get even, right? The flesh just wants to get even. Getting even is falling into sin. How do you put that to death? How do you put that sense of vengeance and retaliation in your fleshly side to death? You ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do? Jesus would forgive. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, right? That's the attitude of forgiveness. What would Jesus do? Every time you want to fall into a sin and you fall into it and you want to continue in it and continue in it, think, what would Jesus do in this situation? And if you do what Jesus would do in that situation, you are putting to death the misdeeds of the carnal side, the fleshly side, the bodily side of you. That making sense here tonight? As I talked about earlier, looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. And you look at it and you look again and you look again and you start falling into that sin more continually. You need to just stop and ask yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Jesus would not look at anything impure, and that's what I'm going to do because I'm a follower of His. If you ask yourself the question, WWJD, what would Jesus do? That is putting to death the misdeeds of the body. It's the process of sanctification. So my question to you tonight is this. Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Is it you? Or is it Jesus? If you're in the driver's seat of your life tonight, if you have the steering wheel of your life in your hands, give it to Jesus. Who has the steering wheel of your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? Who's in the driver's seat of your life? Is it you or is it Jesus? If you're in the driver's seat of your life, you know what? Just slip on over and put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. Give Him the steering wheel of your life. He wants to be Lord over every part of your being. Is that making sense here tonight? Yeah. So repeat it after me. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
take the steering wheel
of my life.
Be in the driver's seat
of my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Another way, another couple of ways of putting to death the misdeeds of the body is you got to pray. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Back it up to verse, 39, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Watch and pray that you will not fall into temptation because the Spirit, that renewed part of you when you put faith in Christ, is willing, but the flesh, fleshly side of you, the bodily side of you is weak. So when you want to fall into a sin and you want to do it again and again, start praying and saying, God, I can't do this on my own. God, in my flesh, I am weak. God, I need your supernatural, divine empowerment.
Amen.
To overcome this sin that is trying to take me captive to do its will. Pray to God, and I'm here to tell you tonight, if you communicate with God, you cry out to God, by His Spirit, He will respond and give you the strength in your spiritual life to defeat the fleshly part of you that is trying to take you down into sin, into a lifestyle of sin. Amen?
Amen.
So to put to death the misdeeds of the body, you got to ask yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Is Jesus your Lord? Remember that question. Number two, you've got to pray. And number three, you've got to be in the Word of God. One last scripture here tonight. I've spoken a lot of scripture, but the Word of God is awesome, isn't it? Ephesians 5, verse 26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. How do you renew your mind?
Through the word.
How do you renew your mind? By the washing of the water through the word of God. You got to be reading the word of God on a consistent basis. Do you want to put to death the misdeeds of the body? Are you wanting to make Jesus Christ your Lord? Are you wanting to live a life like Jesus has intended for you to live? Then you've got to be in the Word of God. You renew your mind by getting into the Word of God. Not just at Easter and Christmas. You've got to be in the Word of God on a consistent basis. Maybe you don't have a whole lot of time. Maybe you have a little bit of time. But with whatever time you have during the day, put aside 10 or 15 minutes and read a few scriptures. Or put aside a half an hour and read a chapter from Genesis. Another chapter from the Gospel of John. Get into the Word of God. Because remember this. The books that you read, the media that you're into, the internet that you're reading, influences the way that you think. Why not read the greatest book in the world, the Word of God, and let it influence the way that you think? How many here tonight want to put to death the misdeeds of the body? How many here tonight want to live a life that is pleasing to God? You want to be a slave to God's law like Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. Then you've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to have the washing of the water through the Word. Reading it consistently. Not once in a blue moon. Not once in a while, but on a daily basis. It's going to take some discipline. But you can make a resolution, even at this time of the year, starting tonight, that you know what? Starting tomorrow morning, starting tonight, I'm going to put 10 minutes into the Word of God.
Amen.
Tomorrow morning when I wake up, take my shower, after I take my shower, eat my breakfast, I'm going to get into the Word of God for 15 minutes. And let it influence the way you think. Because it's in the Word of God that shows us how to live a life that is pleasing to God. Shows us how to put to death the misdeeds of the body. You got to ask yourself, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Number two, you got to pray and you got to get into the Word. And the Word, one point I want to make, getting into the Word will tell you what Jesus would do. Because the Word tells us, if you read the Gospels, what Jesus did when he walked this earth. He was the exact representation of God's being. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. So if you want to know what Jesus would do in a specific situation when something comes across your life that is not right, get into the Word of God and know what Jesus did by reading about his life and his ministry in the Gospels. Is that good news here tonight?
Amen.
Amen. God loves you so very much. And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted Jesus for the first time in my life, but tonight I want to do so. If you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight for the very first time, you're wanting to put your faith in him, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. First time, sir, salvation in the back? Or you're recommitting? First time? Okay, we're going to get to that in just a minute. Anybody for the very first time wanting to put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what somebody to your right is thinking, somebody in back of you, somebody in front of you. It's only what God thinks about you that matters. Anybody here tonight for the very first time wanting to put your faith in Jesus? All right. Maybe there's some of you here tonight that maybe you slipped into a sin. But you've slipped into it again and again and again and again to the point where you feel like maybe you've backslidden. Maybe you're far from God, far from Jesus. And tonight you want to re-give your life back to him. You want to rededicate your life back to Jesus. If that's you, raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. I saw a hand back there earlier, sir. All right, those raising your hand, stand up. Stand up. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It's only what God thinks about you that really matters. Anybody else want to follow their lead? The voice of God's Spirit is whispering to you, telling you to recommit your life to Jesus. You need to raise your hands tonight. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody else? All right, those standing up, come forward. Come to the altar. Anybody else want to follow their lead? If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, don't ignore His voice. Because remember this, the next hour is not guaranteed. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you would be with God in heaven forever? If not, you need to come forward. All right. All right, those standing up, repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sin. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done bad things, and I've been doing those bad things. But tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life. My spirit, my body, my relationships, my emotions, my finances, my soul. Be Lord over every single part of my being. Jesus, I love you. And Jesus, I pray that you give me the strength to follow you the rest of my days here on this earth. And when I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Welcome back. The Bible says that the angels in heaven are rejoicing with the decision you made tonight. And those who recommitted your life to Jesus tonight, there are certain spiritual disciplines to remain close to Christ on this earth. Getting into the Word, like we talked about. Praying. Finding good, solid Christian friends. Continuing to go to church services. All right? May God bless you richly. We'll see you next month. And what brother is going to close off the service tonight? Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Donald, for that great word tonight. We appreciate you coming.